Thanks for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, please visit us at journeytn.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another Journey Now Wednesday Roundtable podcast. I am not Grant Opperman, but I do play him on TV. Actually, my name is Kevin Dixon. I'm one of the pastors here at Journey. And Grant had to make a trip somewhere, and so I'm filling in. And here we are from Brentwood, Tennessee, with a special, I would say, very special roundtable that comes from, let's just say, Music City, because we're going to talk music a little bit today. And a new initiative put forth by this group of people that has the artist, the musician in mind. And with me today, I have Sam Barnhart, formerly of the illustrious band Bleach. And and his history of world travels.
A lot of miles.
And what that brings to this idea. And we have Brett Mayberry from Australia, and also Franklin. Nope, Spring Hill. Nope, Thompson Station.
There it is.
If I say it enough, and his years of ministering to artists and the heart of people, it just brings so much to this. Thanks for being with us, Brett.
Good to be here, Kevin. Hi, everybody.
And then, last but not least, joining us is probably the most distant because he's joining us via Zoom and Vion Isaac, who is a person who has started his own label. He's a musician in his own right, and we will talk about this briefly, but going to be doing a concert here at Journey. And he joins us with his expertise around this idea of not just producing, but also how to get music into the community. And thank you for joining us, Isaac.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Vion.
Yeah, two first names. That was just not a good idea. All right. So with that being said, this story has some history to it. As part of Journey Church, Brett Mayberry and myself have been in discussion for 5 years, because we've known each other for 5 years, around this idea of how do we best minister to the artist who has come to Nashville with a dream and wants to get their art in front of people, not just the musician, but we've talked about it in the broader sense, right? Right, Brett?
Yeah.
And how do we not just exploit them or take advantage of them, but actually do ministry in such a way that allows them to flourish. And so part of that conversation, it landed us in front of a guy by the name of Nick Beret. And we discussed this idea of a label, which is starting to come to fruition. What was our discussion there, Brett?
Well, I mean, I've tried to get something rolling along the lines of caring for artists in this city in a way that's really intentional. And I wanted to do it in the context of what I was doing through Journey, which was the Journey Arts Collective, or is the Journey Arts Collective. And it just never got the traction that I was hoping for. So when we sat with Nick and we started talking about actually forming some sort of company, that actually allowed for a different kind of accountability, because you know, we're signing contracts and there's some skin in the game. But in that action of saying, hey, we're going to do this, it also creates an opportunity for us to come alongside that artist in a way that's I trust really helpful. So we would be shifting the focus from not where could the art go, how could the art help the outside world, how could this potentially raise money as a company, whether, you know, that money goes to help a community need or whether that money just lines the pockets of the company.
Right.
That's not the end goal.
Right.
Like the end goal is actually the artist.
Right.
And any of that would just be a byproduct. If the music went on to really help someone in their life, that's amazing.
Right.
But for us as a company, that's not our number one driving reason for existence.
Right. Because we've seen the industry consume people and Mm-hmm. And you've often spoke of this, Brett, from the standpoint of balance in their lives. You've told stories of artists who were hired for a specific piece of work, but consumed by whoever hired them to get that work done. And then the artist becomes easily discarded while the product of that artist is used in ways that I don't know how to best describe it, but it almost makes the artist disposable. That's how you've described it to me.
Yeah, we just start to wrestle with this idea of the artist being a commodity.
That's it. The word's commodity.
And in that context, they are losing their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we start to think of what we do in the context of numbers and likes and dislikes and how many sales you have, and it can just become really dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sat with many artists who are struggling with their value as a human being,
right?
Because of what the culture around them is telling them.
Right. So the impetus behind starting this particular music label was to start it with a particular mission of the wholeness of the artist, not just to make money, hopefully to make money, but not the sole mission or even the primary mission of the label. And that's where this is going to be different.
Yes. I mean, yes, we certainly hope that artist will be able to put food on their table and pay their bills. So yes, it does include a financial gain.
Yes.
But our end goal is very much a holistic care for that artist, which would include some conversation around business and how is their artistry going and how could they steward that artistry they've been given well. But it's not limited to those two things.
Right.
It would include all the other facets of our being as we care for them. And I believe in that context, the art's going to flourish as a result.
Right.
Because so often, I mean, look at world history. You look at how many artists have had their lives fall apart and then the art suffers and even potentially goes away because they go away.
Correct. Yeah. So that's tragic.
It is tragic.
So with that in mind, we've bantered about this, you and I, and dreamed about it for quite some time. We drew Sam in, and Vion is kind of a latecomer to the game, but an important comer to the game.
Incredibly important.
Really important.
Vital.
And Vion, how did you get drawn into this? Can we ask you that question?
Sure.
Go for it.
Absolutely. I mean, I started... I've always been songwriter, producer, love those two facets of the industry, and worked with many of the larger companies in the industry early out of school, but got a little burnt out and ran into a lot of what you both just spoke of, which is the artist as commodity and sort of not valuing artists.
Yeah.
And that really got to me. So I started my own company because I figured, well, I bet you I could kind of get close to what they're doing. Let me give it a shot.
Yeah.
And take care of myself and the people around me in a better way. And that just flourished in a few years. And as it grew, I got to a point where I started having sort of the idea to share this concept of, hey, I think it's possible in today's age for artists and for folks who are not necessarily big label folks to still create some traction and create, you know, some hype around music. And I started just opening myself up and saying, well, if I notice any entity or any group of people who have those kinds of conversations, who have a heart for that I connect with and vibe with, that why not reach out? And I don't recall exactly what led to me reaching out to you guys, but I love Journey. I've been attending Journey for quite some time, and I reached out to you, Kevin, I believe, and I just said, well, hey, I can do this The label thing, I've got some things figured out, and and if you guys ever want to do something like that, just let me know. You know, no worries either way, but just let me know. And it was sort of one of those perfect timing things, because you told me, hey,
let's talk. Let's talk. Because it fit right into the question I always had was, how do we get it to move forward? Mm-hmm. And you became the answer to that question. God dropped you in our lap and said, here's a guy that'll help you get that going. Without seeing, and the beauty of it is that you're willing and available, and your heart is with the artist as well. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, I am an artist. So that's the thing, you know, like, so if I'm not, you know, I'm not going to go against my own self here. So, and why would I, why wouldn't I, allow that for other folks? So yeah, absolutely. I mean, just sort of a key moment in my life was, I was working with an artist a few, you know, many years ago before I started the label, and we were traveling through Europe and through the Americas, writing and working with different producers. But what I found was the culture around this artist really encouraged his problems and his defects, because they felt like that's where the art was. So, you know, the guy had some addiction issues and that kind of thing. And I was shocked that people encouraged that, and they were excited and pushed this individual to pursue those activities more and more. And that was a very eye-opening thing, where I was like, I don't think I want to be a part of this. I would like to be a part of something where the artist isn't just an expendable thing, but is sort of the focus of, let's build up a career for someone. So, so that was my philosophy. And I feel like everyone here at Journey, you know, we all kind of share that, is we want to build a parallel industry that not to sound too ambitious, but a parallel sort of pathway that allows for people to not feel as if they are expendable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you said something, Vyong, and you're exactly right, because like when the artist is seen as expendable, then the natural thing that happens is their art then becomes expendable at some point. Right. And so, it's if we flip that on its head, what happens when neither the artist is expendable? There's where the value is. Then they're going to continue to create valuable, important pieces of work, whatever that might look like for them. And so
it took me years to realize. I was always so focused on the songs I was making, and over the years it dawned on me that I'm not working on my songs, and this I don't know if this will make sense, but I'm not working on my songs, I'm working on that process in me that results in songs. So the end result is songs. Good. But the thing I'm working on is, from nothing, Vyong does something, and then songs happen. And that's where the true value lies. Yep. So every artist has that process.
That's right.
That's what ought to be tailored to.
And that's so good, man. When I was off the road and I would consult artists, and I've talked with Brett about this, shared this, maybe you guys too, I don't know, but
probably not.
Maybe not. Yeah. But one of the things that I always encouraged, I would use this analogy of baseball and music. And, you know, in baseball, you have everything from T-ball all the way to the major leagues. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have some people who are just learning the game and who are just, they're playing it for fun. And then you have the guys who are making millions of dollars and everybody knows their names. But you know what? The beauty in all of that is they're whether you're playing T-ball or in the major leagues, you're still playing baseball. You know? And so for singers and songwriters and artists, it's like, whether or not you're ever going to be the next, you know, whoever, you know, Bruno Mars.
Ooh, I know that guy.
That's a little dated.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know,
Justin Timberlake.
Justin. Or the local band that plays at their, you know, at their little dive bar on the weekend, like
21 Pilots.
Yeah.
Oh no.
No, they're big.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Have been for a while, Kevin.
Lord they have used mercy. To. In Columbus, yeah, they used to play at a dive bar in Columbus.
That's totally true.
Yeah.
But all that to say that for some people, the only place they're ever going to be is in that little dive bar playing their songs to 10 people who are loving it.
Yeah.
And others are going to be doing it and everybody in the world is going to know their song, you know. Mm. But none of that takes away from the fact that what they get to do is music. You know, and so we've almost, I don't know. It just, to me, it's just the whole thing's important, you know?
So, and
I agree.
As Sam, as you have had your experience of being with a band on the road, and this lends into a little bit of what is really at the heart of Brett's vision for this label is coaching artists in a well-rounded life experience. You know, you went on the road when you were
19, almost 20.
Yeah. But were you like a mature 19?
I'm not a mature 47. So I've never been a mature anything.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I thought I'd ask. So would some coaching have been valuable before you launched into, which was a very successful career. Yes.
Yeah. We had a great successful career.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do credit a lot of that to the fact that without knowing we needed it.
Yeah.
We did have people that were coaching us.
Yeah.
And that just came from, he was an artist, an artist that I grew up listening to that signed me to my first record deal. And the beauty in that though is is having someone that you already have this trust for.
It was Neil Diamond, wasn't it?
Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Or Eddie DeGarmo.
Same difference.
But through that, like, because of what Eddie had gone through and knowing that he wanted to protect as much as he could, but also you got to experience and, so he just would always be that voice for us we could. Sometimes it was unasked for, and he just saw us heading for a wall, and he might, you know,
you might want to turn. Oh,
and then other times we would ask, and he would. And so I'm grateful that we had those relationships in our life.
Right.
I would say, honestly, it was accidental.
Yeah.
It wasn't intentional that we thought, well, we should do this so we can have a long, fulfilling and healthy career.
Right.
And all love each other when we're done, you know, right. Which, by the way, they're still my best friends. Yeah, and we still live close together. The Bleach guys. But
good. Mm-hmm. So how does it speak to you, Brett? How does that, you know, I know that you've watched this. I know you've watched it unfold for famous people as well as people that are just always pounding and trying to get some traction. And yet you see it, you see the heart of the artist. And how do you see this coaching idea kind of minister to them?
Man, that's a really good question. I'm also a musician as well. I consider myself an artist who stumbled into the world of coaching and sitting with other artists and listening to their stories and doing my best to guide. And just having done that now for 20 years, I'm recognizing that I probably do some of it well.
you do, Brett, you do it well.
So to actually get to take these experiences I've had and to put it in this context, honestly, it's such a surprise to me. I didn't see it going down this road, but that's often the case. But it creates so much opportunity for us moving forward. And, you know, to actually say to an artist, you are the end goal here, is really, for me, the game changer of why we exist and what we will as an entity protect at all cost. Because the moment it starts to become something other than that, we're not fulfilling our reason for existence.
Right.
And for that artist to know that safety, because we're not promising utopia.
No.
You know, we're promising honesty and vulnerability and all that makes for an environment that is safe, mm-hmm. where art can come alive.
Yeah. You'll be refined in this community. You'll be refined in this process.
Yes. Yeah. I fully expect this to be really challenging for, mm-hmm. for the artist and for all of us. Mm-hmm. And I, as an artist, like I want their art to be as good as it possibly can be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But not at the cost of who they are as a human being.
Mm. Right. Mm.
And so often that's what I see happen in the industry.
Right.
Is
people get consumed.
The mm-hmm. the focus becomes the art and the product of the art, mm-hmm. not the artist.
Yeah.
So
yep.
It really stirs my heart to think that I could get to be a part of creating something like this with Vion and with you both, just to invite artists into that in the months and years ahead.
Yes, it has great potential. It's exciting to think about. Just as a point of clarification, you know, we do realize that this is being born out of a church, but we're not just doing a particular genre of music.
Right.
That's the other thing that's probably unique about this is we want to work with artists and not fit them into you have to do worship music, or you have to do contemporary Christian music, or you have to do pop, or you have to do
metal, heavy metal.
Yes.
Journey has a bunch of thrash bands or, and hardcore.
Yeah. Oh, they still do epic. Punk these days.
Oh, yeah.
Punk.
Yeah, it's all there.
But the idea behind this always was, the artist produces the music that's in them, uh-huh. And we fan the flame. And rather than saying, okay, in order for you to be with us, you have to do this.
Yeah, and I think you're hitting on something important, which is this idea of, you know, typically, I mean, right now you have a bunch of labels in Nashville. You have your country labels, yep. and your Christian labels, and you know, most churches who are doing music, it's going to be a worship release or right. record or. the beauty in this is that what we're doing is allowing people just to have their, you know, obviously most people that come through here, they hold to a worldview of
like ours
but
not
Jesus.
Necessarily.
Well, maybe not some, most, but all that to say that, this isn't intended to be a worship label.
Correct.
This is just, let's, like I said, blow wind into the sails of our artists.
Yep.
You know.
And you know what's cool about that, Sam?
Yeah.
What's cool about that, and it just dawned on me, is it fits the heart and the mission of this thing very well. Because if we said, well, we want to start a Christian label, what that means is we're focusing on the product first, which is Christian music.
Right.
And then working backwards from there.
Right.
But rather saying, let's meet the artists where they're at and see what the product becomes, see what they create, rather than we want this type of music, let's find people and sort of push them into this mold. So so for me, what I love about this is whether it was intentional or not, it's that principle sort of fits the heart behind what we want to do here.
Yeah, that's good, Leon. And it fits as well what you were saying before about the focus being the process. And I think in art, so often we, and work, like everybody who's listening to this would say, I know what it's like, where the focus becomes, will we hit that marker? You know, whatever it is, we're going to sell that many units, or mm-hmm. the art's going to be of this quality, or whatever category of reference you create to say, this is a win, this is a success.
Yeah.
That becomes where everyone's attention is. And when you reach it, it's so fast. I mean, you blink and it's there.
Right.
Or it's not there and it's a momentary thing.
Yeah.
Like I remember when my friend, a dear friend who really got me into the conservatorium and made it possible for me to do what I'm doing today, his name's Graham Blevins, an amazing musician. He dreamed of getting to be the soloist in front of the symphony orchestra. He was a young man. I think he was only 19 or 20, and it happened, at a very young age.
Yeah.
And he said to me, it was so strange because I came off stage and I thought, is that it?
Right.
Mm.
And I just,
man, I can so relate with that.
So many artists can go, man, is that it? Or like, you're just chasing this thing that never comes, or you get there and then you have to deal with often the major disappointment.
Yeah.
Or maybe it isn't. Maybe it's like, oh, that was amazing. But then it's the next thing. And then it's the next thing. It's the next thing. But what if it's actually the thing is the process?
Yeah.
It's not that imaginary finish line,
right?
Which doesn't really exist. We think it exists, but it doesn't.
Right.
What if the finish line is not the focus? It's actually the process that's being created.
Yeah.
So
That's good insight. That's really good.
Yes.
This is exciting. I think, you know, we just wanted to get the word out today. We wanted to have this conversation, but we also wanted to ask, because Vian is going to do a concert, and I wanted to give him opportunity to share a little bit of, we're going to do it here at the church, here in the gathering space. Mm-hmm. And he's going to share something he's been working on for a long time, but I just want you to share a little bit about that, invite people to come, and let's see what it looks like.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I, like I said, I started everything from an artist core and built out the business from there. So the heart of what I've been doing is creating music. And so on March 26, I'm releasing my third studio album, which is an album called Flight of the Aeronaut. And it's a album with organic instrumentation. Some incredible players played on it. Some of the best string arrangers in the world worked on it. Probably the only one that I think is the best one that didn't work on it is Brett. So we'll have to do that
next time around.
Yeah, next time around. But it's been one of those very rewarding sort of journeys of creating art with some incredibly talented people. And I want to celebrate that on the 25th. So the day before the album comes out.
Okay.
And you all have been so kind in sort of helping set this up, but 7 PM on the 25th, we're going to do a show with live strings and some wonderful musicians coming out to play. And I'll be sort of talking about the process of creating an album, stories behind the songs. These songs were written on three continents. They were written in the Americas, in Europe, and in Africa. I'm originally from South Africa. So these songs sort of have had a journey of their own. And I just want to celebrate that and share that with people this month. So on the 25th, it's a free show, starts at 7 PM. We're going to film it. And it'll go online later in the month too, or probably sometime in April. But just sort of in the same heart as starting this label, sort of inviting people into the process of creating music in a fun way. And I just can't believe that Journey is down to do that with me. So I'm super excited, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've heard the album personally. And it come out. It's great. You did a great job. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe Sam does. I don't know.
I haven't heard
Man, I gotta send you a link.
Send me a link. You may have, and I may have missed it. But
I would
love yes.
So
but I'd love to get your feedback, man. I just would love to hear what you think.
You got it, brother.
Well, that's a great way to top this off. This is the beginning. We're going to probably have several more conversations around this as it unfolds.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to seeing what God will do with this. And we're looking forward to seeing how the artists will flourish. Thank you for joining us today on the Roundtable Wednesday. Thank you, Vian and Brett and Sam.
Charlie Whistlenut.
Thank you. Man.
And the illustrious Grant Opperman, flying somewhere in the world today, is smiling upon us. Have a great day.
See ya.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Journey Now podcast, please consider rating and reviewing us and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us today.